The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town, like a cancer that's silently spreading. There's an unspoken fear we're on our way down. We must take America back, Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C., before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back, as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
And we begin the second hour of the National Intel Report. I'm your host, Steve Elkins, and today's date is August 21st, 2023. And as promised, what an honor it is for me to interview this individual. Please welcome Dr. Peter McCullough to the National Intel Report. Dr. McCullough, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thanks for having me.
I want to say one thing before we get into the interview here, is that it is my extreme pleasure to be
Chris Steiner here.
To be interviewing you, Dr. McCullough. And I just want to say thank you for staying in this fight. You and I have gone back for the last year or so. I met you through an interview with Chris Steiner on RBN and for his show up in K-Talk up in Salt Lake City, Utah, and I had a chance to talk to you and interview a little bit. But I just want to say thank you for so much for staying in this fight. You are you're a pioneer, and you've got great experience and information to share with us. And I'm just glad you didn't bail out, because I know the pressure is on you. The legal people are coming after you. Everybody seems to put a bullseye, a target on you. And you haven't flinched. You said, you know what? I got to do what I got to do. This is the information I got to get out. And I am very thankful for you staying in this fight. So thank you, sir.
Well, thank you so much for having me. And it's certainly been quite an odyssey. We have a lot of news to go over, so hopefully we can get everybody caught up to date.
Sure. I caught your recent interview. The title is Dr. McCullough Meets Dr. Geert Vanden Bosch on the High Wire. I guess the host was Del Bigtree. He was a fine broadcaster. Brings vaccinologist and medical specialist together for a review of SARS-CoV-2 pandemic response debacle. If you want to start there, we can start with there from the very beginning to where we are today, because you were the one out there first, as far as I know, saying, you know, I know what's the best early treatment, ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, and it was all being suppressed because of the agenda from the pharmaceuticals. There was only one solution. It was a vaccine and, new technology, and it doesn't even work. So let's go ahead and start with that interview a little bit, if you can give us the highlights.
It's true. It was great to meet Geert Vanden Bosch. He had a long and storied career as a vaccinologist. He worked for the Gates Foundation, so many pharmaceutical companies. And he was warning from the very beginning to not mass vaccinate the world. We weren't against vaccines. I wasn't against vaccines. In fact, early on, I was one of the lead investigators for the Imodulon program. We were trying to bring a vaccine to nursing home patients and nursing home workers. That was with the NIH and FDA. I had already made great progress with early treatment and published the very first early treatment protocol in the American Journal of Medicine. That became a worldwide standard. And none of us were against vaccines if they would have been limited and have some degree of safety and, of course, have efficacy. And the current vaccines didn't have any of that. And Vanden Bosch said, listen, don't do it. It's going to backfire. And sure enough, it did. It did. Everyone learned the vaccines have been a nightmare. Patients have had record numbers of injuries, disabilities, and deaths. The vaccines didn't work. Some people, I did a recent Twitter survey, about 10% of people responded. Knew somebody who was on seven shots now. Seven
really?
Shots.
Well, I know the 8th is coming up very shortly. I saw it the 8th, and we can talk about the new variant. I think I sent you something over the new variant that will be arriving very soon. And I was really surprised when I sent you the text over that the new replacement for Rochelle Walensky, I'm trying to think of her last name, Mandy Cohen. And right. Basically, she's pretty much doing the same walk and talk as Rochelle Walensky. And that is safe and effective. And a new booster, by the way, is coming. Should be ratified and okayed very, very soon. She already knows this already, I guess, because they're just going to rubber stamp this thing, just like they did the others. But it'll be coming out mid-September. So they're already quite secure that they're going to get this thing passed. And it looks like we're going to start this whole thing all over again, Dr. McCullough.
Well, look at the booster they're coming out with. It's against the outgoing XBB 1.5 variant, which is now 4.7% and declining of all the variants. So again, they're going to miss the target. The emergent variant right now is EG5. EG5 is 20.6%. And then after that, there's a surge of FL 1.1. And then what's coming up in third place is XBB 2.3. So they're going to miss the mark on all of these. There is a bit of an uptick in cases. There's no doubt about it. We received a bunch of calls over the weekend. We're looking at the data. My mom has it right now in independent living. It's a very mild cold. I'll check on her a little bit later today after I finish up here at the office. And, you know, she's fine. Sounds like she has a head cold. So nothing more than a head cold. We know in a paper by Chen and colleagues that once somebody's been through COVID, like my mom, there is a 0% chance of hospitalization. So I'm not worried about my mom, who's frail and elderly and senior living. I'm not worried about her going into the hospital. Now, does she need some reasonable things? Sure. We're using virucidal nasal washes and sprays and dilute povidone iodine spray. It's working great. Gargling, scopolamine, Listerine with some iodine in it. We are using zinc, vitamin C, vitamin D, high doses of vitamin D. Right. And I'm actually using now a over-the-counter antiviral that is interesting. You know, it won the Nobel Prize the same year that ivermectin won the Nobel Prize, and that is artemisinin. I'm using artemisinin forte in my mom. It's available over-the-counter. It's derived from a Chinese herb called Chinese wormwood. And it's very safe over-the-counter antiviral. And, I'll upgrade. If I need to add things, I certainly can. I'll check on her tonight. But what people need to understand is this little wave right now, it's like a common cold.
Yeah, this little thing seems to be starting up again. Will Americans buy this, or they've been desensitized already, kind of like crying wolf all the time? Do you think Americans are going to go for this one in here, or they just say, you know what, I know this is fraud. I've taken the shots. These people are saying I've taken the shots. I've done the mask. None of this stuff ever prevented for me from getting COVID. And again, we must emphasize, and I had COVID, but natural acquired immunity. There's no better immunity than natural acquired immunity. But I started seeing the mask started to reappear the last couple of days, Dr. McCullough. So I wonder, like I said, mid-September, it looks like they're going to roll this whole thing out again and try it again. And do the school lockdowns. The kids will be doing school at home, and employees will be sent back home to do work from the home, and no office work. I just don't know how this is going to be received from the public side. Are they just going to say this is enough? I've had enough of this, and we know other ways that they're trying to get this poison into us in our food supply, you name it, in our water supply, many other avenues. As people are waking up, just saying, you know, I know there's a lot of bad things in this. We understand now the bad side effects. We understand about pericarditis. We understand about myocarditis. This new thing, this new phenomenon, this new cause of death that you and I talked about, called SADS, sudden adult death syndrome, which when I was in school, I knew all about SADS, but it never stood for that. It stood for sudden arrhythmia death syndrome, but now it's been retooled, the acronym, to say sudden adult death syndrome. And we're supposed to just accept young people, healthy people, exercising and suddenly dropping dead. Any comment on that?
You know, a recent autopsy paper by Holscher, and he's the first author, I'm the senior author, in cases of these cardiac deaths like this in these young people, 100% of the time they were myocarditis. There were vaccine myocarditis.
Right.
So, you know, I can tell you these young people dying or having blood clots or the common vaccine injury syndromes. It is the vaccine. The autopsy studies show that. A lot of times the athletes don't want to say that because they're still trying to keep their spot on the team, or they feel like they're going to lose more. The actors feel like they're going to lose a, you know, an acting job. But, you know, they don't. If they didn't take the shot, they would have come out and told us, listen, I didn't take the shot.
Right.
And when they remain quiet like that, that's an indicator they took the shot.
Yeah.
And they've been burned by it.
Yeah. Well, I think you and I agreed. We talked about that in a text that it's going to take a politician or celebrities to bring the attention to this phenomenon, this sudden adult death syndrome, how people are just healthy and they were fine and suddenly they're collapsing, they're dying at a very, very young age. And again, you're right, just not mentioning the fact, did they take the shot or not, not mentioning it or saying cause unknown. Well, we know young people typically just don't die. I've known probably three or four people that actually died from the original SADS, sudden arrhythmia death syndrome, back in the when they were 20 years old or so. But what we're seeing now is amazing, especially we saw a lot in Europe. Of course, that was all suppressed. The footballers, the soccer players that were dying, I mean, over 1,000 now. I don't know what the total number is now, Dr. McCullough, but it hit Europe quite hard because they were pushing the vaccines. And And look at the outcome. It turned out very, very bad for them. So where we are today, Dr. McCullough, do you think we've made some positive strides? Are we making some good ground here? Are we waking people up? Are we getting politicians to say, you know, I was duped, I was lied to, and I supported this? And are we getting people to push back now and to support us more?
We are. It's gradual. It's still small. I think the rubber's going to meet the road when people are asked to really do something. Are they really going to put on a mask again when we know the Cochrane analysis show that masks don't work? Are people really going to take vaccines that they now know are dangerous? Mm-hmm. That's going to be, I think, where the rubber meets the road. And, you know, time will tell. If we had a better messaging strategy and said, listen, 3.5 years later, we know that masks don't work, but the nasal sprays do. Everybody should carry an iodine nasal spray. Use that if you get COVID or if you're around somebody. If we had some type of reasonable strategy to say, listen, if you're sick right now, COVID's going around, stay at home and just go ahead and take a McCullough protocol, get through it, and then you know, 5 days, you'll be back. If there's anything that's changed right now, we're not hearing anything's changed outside of we're going to lock down, wear masks, and take more vaccines. That's not a change.
You know, what really bothered me is that I had to sit down, and I actually had a listener here who's a retired nun, and had to put down, make a religious medical exemption. I could do the medical side. I needed her expertise on biblical scripture and religious. And we whipped out a really nice, actually a nice exemption letter. And I had to send these things out to people because of the economic extortion, Dr. McCullough. And I found that appalling that my employer, my wife's employer, would say, take the shot or you're fired. But we'll look at an exemption letter and possibly vote on it. And I asked, well, who's on this board to vote on anything? And again, we've emphasized the Nuremberg trials and experimentation and using people. And this thing, a messenger RNA, has never been done before. The trials were all bad. The animals all died. And for some reason, we're supposed to have confidence in our government agencies that say it's safe and effective, but then people start getting COVID after taking the shots, and then the downside, the side effects. I don't want to see this come back, but I'm worried about the corporations being strong-armed to bring on the economic extortion again. Everybody wants to work. Everybody has to pay a bill. And to say, take the shot or you're going to get fired. What's our legal recourse other than if they deny our exemptions?
There's only been a few awards. There was one at in Chicago, one of the big health systems for employees that lost their jobs, there was an award. But it really depends on the strength of the courts, the strength of the attorneys. I've been fairly unimpressed with the legal system right now because there's no fairness. Just like there's no fairness in the corporate boardroom, there's no fairness in the court system, there's no fairness with government agencies. And, people are feeling like they have nowhere to turn. I think this is really a test of wills. If everyone says no, this whole agenda falls.
Well, I can tell you offhand where I live down here in Central Florida, the hospitals, it was nice that the ICUs, the ERs, and the OBGYN were all united. Evidently, they're the smartest of the bunch in this hospital. But they all agreed that this was not a good thing, being forced to take something that was experimental. The downside, the problems that we would see probably see from the shot itself, and to basically say, I'll walk out. I'm going to risk it all. This is a big gamble here, but I'm going to walk out, and I'm going to take control of my own health. I'm going to be responsible. This is not a good thing, I can tell you right offhand. And I caught the fraud early on. I think the first question I ever asked you on that show with Chris Steiner was the first lie I caught in this whole thing, the fraud, start of the fraud, was the asymptomatic spreader. And I had to go back and I said, wait a minute here. All my classes I've had, I never heard of such a thing. Now, either you have symptoms, you're infectious. And if you don't have symptoms, then you have nothing. You're not infectious. There's no possible way. And that was the first thing I caught. And the second thing was the exemption groups that were set up, that we are not all in this together. There are certain people that are exempt from taking the shots. And that was a red flag for me. But that those things were never emphasized by the mainstream media. So that was just in our independent media here. We got this out. But the mainstream media wouldn't touch these abnormalities of exclusion. And I don't know. I just hope we don't go down that same road. And if we do, I guess we're going to do the walkout. I don't see any other choice. Because if you give them an inch, they'll take a mile, and then there'll be another shot, another shot, another shot to follow. I think we have to stand our ground, and I'm hoping other listeners, people who are listening to this program, who are on the medical industry here, the medical side, will understand that if we have to come together on this issue and take control of our own destiny here, our own health, and if it takes walking out and saying, I'm going to risk it all, I'm going to walk out, then do so. And I think that's because we survived and we beat these people, the corporation, because we all came together and said, we're walking out. You got my notice right now. And they realized, first of all, a hospital with no ER is worth nothing. A hospital without an ER or ICU or OBGYN is worthless. And that this is going to hit them economically very, very hard. And their reputation will go down the drain. So it worked for us. I don't want to see that happen again, but it may just happen.
It may. I mean, right now people are just, you know, trying to preserve their health. They know the best way to stay healthy is to stay unvaccinated. Every shot makes a patient progressively more ill over time. The CDC VSafe data shows 7.7% of people who take each shot have to go to the ER or be hospitalized. That's how sick they are. 7.7. Right. I mean, that's a huge number. And now we have two papers, Mansugian and Bjorn and Lepesic, and the second paper from Basel. The rate of heart damage, Steve, 2.5%. So people take the shots, 2.5% are going to get heart damage. Then they get heart damage, and a smaller subset of that is going to be at risk for cardiac arrest.
Right. Yeah, I read something today. I think I was watching Newsmax today, and there's a doctor he's come out, and he speaks very openly about the fraud of COVID, and he goes by the name of Dr. X-Ray. You've probably heard of him on Newsmax. He's usually on Cowboy Logic, and his face is blurred. They don't want anybody to know who he is in his speech and everything.
Gosh.
You can't tell. Yeah, but he comes out and he mentioned today that for every shot, and he said this was backed up by some data from Edward Dowd, that with every shot you lose every shot per year you lose 7% of your lifespan, and. And so he said for every shot, so people have taken 7 and 8. And we're looking at 8 now. Number 8's coming on the tubes right now, I just saw. So, you know, I suspect we're going to see a significant decrease in our population by the year 2025. Some of my friends in the hospital nearby me, a physician, is telling me cancer cases are coming through the roof there. And he says, I've never seen so much cancer coming in. And autoimmune disorders, lupus is being flared up, you name it, Crohn's, everything you can think of. It's kind of flipping the switch on. These COVID shots are flipping the switch back on. When something is in remission, it's doing well. And then suddenly, boom, it's a wildfire. And he said, Steve, he was no doubt about it. He said, this is all caused by the COVID shot itself. This is causing the flare up, the number of cancer cases to go up. And I'm I'm glad now that some doctors are finally coming forward and admitting what they're seeing. I know they've been threatened with their licensure and the boards and everything else and legal lawsuits, but they're actually coming out now. And I think the Eighth Circuit Court took on the CDC, and now I guess I understand that physicians are now allowed to go off label for certain medications, meaning ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, to use for COVID patients. So we now recognize it is successful if you start very early. And now the doctors are less inhibited now. So I'm hoping we're taking a turn for the good side now, that we can beat some of this. But for those we can't, you mentioned in your product line on your website here, natokinase. Can you discuss that a little bit?
Yeah, we've learned that once somebody's had COVID several times or the several vaccine shots, they have a lot of spike protein in the body. The virus installs a spike protein. The vaccines install a ton of it. And the human body can't break down spike protein. It's not amenable to natural peptidases. So we rely on natokinase, which is an external enzyme you take as a capsule, bromelain, a set of enzymes, a natural product, and then curcumin. So those three, the doses would be natokinase, 2,000 units twice a day, bromelain, 500 milligrams a day, and curcumin, 500 milligrams twice a day. It's called base spike detoxification. We have a major paper coming out in probably about a week. When it does hit the wires, it's going to be highly cited, and it is the way to go. Now, the wellness company, and I advise that company as a chief scientific officer, they have the best-in-class spike product called Spike Support that is based with natokinase. It has five other minor ingredients, but we would add spike support to bromelain and curcumin as that trio. And everybody's, you know, there's a lot of supplements, but it does give patients the best chance on detoxification. It's my clinical experience. It takes a minimum of 3 months, sometimes even 12 months, to begin to get all this spike protein out of the body. It's causing people to feel sick, getting blood clots, nerve problems, heart pounding, headaches, all these symptoms due to the spike protein. And we got to get out of the body. Base spike detox, again, it would be natokinase, 2,000 units twice a day. That would be wellness company spike support. Then bromelain, 500 milligrams a day, and curcumin, 500 milligrams twice a day. Hopefully your listeners have got this down. Major paper coming out on it. It will be breaking. And that is the detoxification protocol. So it helps people get better after vaccine, after get COVID. It actually helps prevent COVID as well. Okay. So it's a COVID. Japanese were working on natokinase actually to prevent COVID, the infection. So they were right. It has an anti-spike protein effect.
Right. What about long COVID also? Would this be beneficial for long COVID also?
Absolutely. It's probably the fundamental intervention to do for long COVID. Then we add other things on top. If patients' blood tests point in a certain direction, we use hydroxychloroquine, sometimes prednisone, colchicine, fluvoxamine, low-dose naltrexone. There's things we can do. But at the base of it is detoxification. Again, natokinase, 2,000 units twice a day, bromelain, 500 milligrams a day, and curcumin, 500 milligrams twice a day.
Right. Now, a new term came by me the other day. I've not heard this. This is the first time I've ever heard it, so I'll throw it by you. Spike protein sickness. Talking about lethargy and really weak symptomology, and then these people saying, well, that's what they're calling now. It's called spike protein sickness. And have you heard this term? Because this is new to me.
Yeah, you know, spike protein illness, spikeopathy. It's just that the vaccines didn't work, and so people got COVID anyway. So they got multiple loadings of the spike protein.
Got it. When I called you, actually, I called you, and I know you're busy, but I texted you. I was in dire straits, and I was in the hospital. I think I told you my cancer diagnosis, colon cancer, which they cut it out. I was really kind of worried because one of the questions I'd asked early on about a year ago, I don't think there were any answers yet. We didn't know the situation here, but the question I asked you was our blood supply, how safe is our blood supply? And then when I'm faced with, well, you've got a hemoglobin of 6.1, Steve, you need blood, and iron supplements not going to boost you up. That's going to take a long time. So you need blood. Sorry. And I get on my phone and text you. I was really in dire straits there, trying to figure out what my solution to this problem. Is the blood supply safe? Am I going to get myself in a bad situation here of injecting myself with spike protein from a blood donation transfusion? And you came back and you said, well, I mean, based on everything, you made a really good case for me, and thank you for doing that, that evidently the surge of blood that was taken, donated, has been already used. That spike protein blood is out there. It's gone. And they've kind of realized now that there's a problem. So they've kind of have now set up different categories here of unvaccinated blood versus vaccinated blood. And I understand the Red Cross is doing this. I don't know about the hospitals. I'm trying to find out the answer to that. Are they, you know, switching out? Well, are they segmenting their blood supply of vaccinated versus unvaccinated? Yep.
Let me clarify, Steve. Let me clarify. Yeah. To my knowledge, Red Cross and the American College of Clinical Blood Banking is not actually doing the checkbox of who took a vaccine or not. They're reworking their forms, but for other reasons, actually for gender diversity. But we really have asked them, please have a checkbox if it took a vaccine and when. And we know they did that in Switzerland. Switzerland, you can ask, you know, to, you know, if you haven't taken a vaccine. The spike protein is not the problem. Honestly, the serologic data suggests 97% of us have been exposed to spike protein. That's not a problem. It's really the genetic material. People didn't take the vaccine. They don't want to get messenger RNA through the vaccinated blood. That's never been demonstrated. There hasn't been a study looking at it. But it hasn't been demonstrated, you know, that blood gets go through filtering and then buffering and then storage. You know how medicine is. If it was going to happen or could happen, you'd think somebody would have described it by this time. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're 2.5 years into the vaccine program. Yeah. I tell people, listen, if they need a blood transfusion, take a blood transfusion.
Yeah. Well,
we've also told people, listen, if they're donating blood, please don't donate right after you've taken a vaccine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, but you're working on honesty there. That's the problem with that scenario, is that you're asking people to be honest, and a lot of people aren't honest. I remember the day when the blood was being tainted and contaminated with AIDS back in the 80s. I remember people, hemophiliacs, were getting blood supply, getting blood transfusions, and later on came down with AIDS because the system wasn't in place to screen for that. And I was kind of worried about that. I really was. And like I said, I'm lying there on a gurney, and I've got to make a decision really fast here. Volume expanders aren't going to help me. Plasminate or anything else going to help me here. I need actual blood to carry oxygen. And you came back for me, and I appreciate you coming back and saying,
did,
you know what?
Did you get transfused, Steve? Did you get transfused?
I did. I took 3 units. I had to take 3 units. Yeah.
Well, you know, recently I had a patient did not take the vaccine, did not want to get transfused, and he's a young guy, but he needed cardiac surgery, got 7 units of blood. I saw him last week, and I said, you want me to check the antibodies against the spike protein? Because we can almost tell two patterns. If one's had the natural infection, in the LabCorp extended range assay, the antibodies against the spike protein will be, you know, somewhere between 200 and maybe 1,200. But if they've taken the vaccine, they're just about, they're close to like 20,000. So it's really clear. So I told him, I said, I can check it to see, in a sense, did you have a vaccine effect? So he was interested. We'll see what it shows.
That's good. That's a lot of units of blood. 7. Yeah. I was sweating it. I was in bad shape, needing 3. I can't imagine being 7 short. Mm. That's a lot. That's not good. Talking about the Children's Health Defense, which I kind of keep an eye on what Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is doing. Very active in going after the vaccine, the children's vaccines on autism, and now going into the direction of the COVID shots is a bioweapon. It's a poison. A lot of people don't like to use that word, the bioweapon, but this thing was COVID, as far as I know, and I believe this to be true. I think we have established the truth on that. This thing was created in a laboratory. It didn't come out of a wet bar in China, Wuhan, China. There's no way. This was created, and whether it was released on purpose or by accident, we can't debate that issue. But we got a commercial break coming up here, and I got some calls coming in for you, Dr. McCullough. So hold on here. We got our special guest, Dr. McCullough, COVID expert. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
We want the freedom that God gave us, so you best not cross that line. If you want this gun, you gotta come through us and take it one shot at a time.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new ease-off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an ease-off drop-in lift?
Our ease-off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the ease-off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my ease-off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Easeoff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
This is Elizabeth McCabe, a.k.a. Lucky One of Truth Frequency News. I wanted to tell you all about Extendivite from HeartDrop.com. Y'all know I check everything before I air it. When I heard about Extendivite on TFR, I went to HeartDrop.com and started my research. It's got cayenne. That's good for blood and circulation. It stimulates the blood flow. It's got garlic, which fights bacteria like antibiotics, and it lowers the cholesterol and blood pressure. It also has milk thistle, which is the best detox for liver. I couldn't wait to try it out, and I'm glad I did 4 months ago. And here's obvious results. My hands and feet don't get cold anymore. The varicose veins have faded too. My wrists don't hurt after typing all day. Now, I tell you all this because it's true and I want you to really live life. Try Extendivite. Go to heartdrop.com and order it.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Yeah, they call it Summer Monday, but Tuesday's just the same. Wednesday's work.
And we are back. Our special guest this second hour is Dr. Peter McCullen. He has a resume. You're the most documented on the subject matter of COVID and many other topics. Your background is amazing. You've got quite a record there, quite a resume, Dr. McCullough. Have you been working at all with the Children's Health Defense at all, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., on the vaccine issue with COVID? Have you been working with him at all?
I've been working with CHD. I'm on the board of the California chapter. Okay. They needed the most help, so I've donated to that chapter as well. You know, they've been shedding a lot of light on vaccine safety concerns for many years. Kennedy did have to step away from Children's Health Defense to run for president. Right. And so he's certainly getting a lot of media running for president on social media. He's kind of blowing away everybody. Out of all the of all the candidates in terms of media time, he's done far better than anyone else. I think because he's so different. Now, I'm a political independent myself, so I'm going to look at everybody very carefully. But you know what someone told me today, an elderly patient? They said, listen, they don't want to see a Trump-Biden rematch. People are just the American electorate's not enthusiastic.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I kind of worry with this. The system, it's still on hand here. The fraudulent election system is still in place. It was never removed, and I was thinking that Donald Trump should have, when you recognize something, you have a duty to replace it and fix it, make it better. And he basically crossed his fingers, and I thought, geez, what's going to happen if Donald Trump is defeated a second time with the same fraudulent system that defeated him in 2020? This is going to be quite embarrassing. You'll have to move to a different country. Your book is out. It's been out for a little while now, The Courage to Face COVID-19. It's a must read. How's it doing?
Book's been doing great. It's a 5-star bestseller on Amazon. We're looking at major motion picture. Steve, it's a gripping true crime narrative of what's happened. We described this biopharmaceutical complex. People say, well, what is that? Who's doing this? And so we really lay it out. You have to read it to understand that a syndicate is formed. They're very powerful. They're incredibly well-resourced. They have the ability to control censorship in social media, drive a worldwide vaccine campaign across all the countries, push public health agencies for more lockdown, more fear tactics. But this syndicate is making so much money. They invest in one another. For instance, a syndicate we believe is World Economic Forum, World Health Organization, Gates Foundation, Wellcome Trust, Rockefeller Foundation, Gavi, CEPI, Unitaid. All these agencies are so interdigitated. It's amazing. Gates put in a few million into BioNTech. He got out billions.
Yeah.
I mean, millions to billions. And so they're just, it's effectively insider trading. Now, Scott Gottlieb, he was a FDA commissioner. He's on the board of Pfizer. The person who followed him, Stephen Hahn, he's in a venture capital firm for Moderna. Now a big UK chief just came in after being a public health agency, head at the UK. Now he works for Moderna. So it's wide open. These guys basically are working for the next jobs within the syndicate.
Yeah, it's well organized, no doubt about it, and they're united in their mission statement, no doubt about it. I was going to go to the phones here and get a couple of calls here. Yeah, I've got a great opportunity here tonight to call in and ask Dr. Peter McCullough a question at 512-248-8252. Let's go to our first caller, Andy in Texas. You're on with Dr. McCullough.
Oh, hey, thanks, gentlemen. Hey, Mr. McCullough, Dr. McCullough. I really appreciate who you are, and I appreciate Steve, but here's a question for you. Can Mr. McCullough, can you define the word pandemic? What does it really mean, pandemic?
A pandemic means in the setting of an infectious organism, it's more than an outbreak. It's more than an epidemic. A pandemic means everybody's going to get it, which is essentially what happened with COVID. Everyone got it. That's the reason why masks and everything else was so ridiculous. If everyone's going to get it, why bother with a mask? We should just treat people when they get sick.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
So, okay, and so the second question would be then, do you actually think that the vaccine is a pandemic?
Well, in a sense, vaccine injuries, disabilities, and death are pandemic. Now, in the United States, 75% of Americans took at least one shot, 75%. We know that from the COVID States program, as Harvard Northeastern reported that. So it means 25% of us didn't. I didn't take it. Let me tell you what, best decision I ever made. And so people that didn't take the vaccine, they feel great. The immune system's great. They do better with COVID. They don't have to worry about myocarditis, blood clots, or neurologic problems. So.
Well, did you find that there's a lot of people out there that have actually suffered terribly from the vaccine? Obviously, you have, because I've heard you in previous. Yeah. Okay, and so are you on the concept that perhaps they're trying to depopulate us?
No, nobody knows the motive. So it's really impossible to ascribe a motive. But what's really disturbing people is these should have been pulled off the market in January 2021 when people started dying after Pfizer vaccine. And Pfizer, collected data, and for 90 days afterwards, they had 1,223 deaths. You can't do that. 5 or 10, 15, no more than 50 deaths should have been off the market. Yeah. Pfizer kept it going. The FDA kept it going. People said, wait a minute, are you trying to hurt us? That's the question. Yeah. And now nobody wants to take these shots. Everyone is very, very concerned. They could be the next person to die.
Yeah, that's true.
So, right. So on the same token, when we're coming into September, you were talking earlier about they're going to do this again with the mm-hmm. mask and stuff, and of course there's another variant coming out, and of course there'll be a vaccine for it and stuff. Do we see any kind of trail here? That they're literally trying to make sure that we get the mRNA vaccine, and that mRNA is just not good for you, obviously, because it just destroys your innards and stuff. So are we seeing anything coming up in the next? Or do you think people will fall for this again?
Well, I know I'm certainly not going to fall for it. People, not people in my circles, but the question is how many people will fall for it. It's being messaged out there. I checked multiple channels today, and they were all indicating that people need to take vaccines. Here's a story from CNN, indicating scientists race to understand highly mutated coronavirus variants spotted in four countries, including the United States, and how this was a big rush and another set of vaccines. People just aren't that sick. It's like the cold.
Yeah, right.
So exactly. If there was no testing, people would just think they have a cold.
Yeah.
Exactly. One last question, and I'll let you go. Do you think that people have not seen what's going on and they understand it and they get it and stuff, or do you think that these people are just going to do it like they normally do? Get the vaccine, get the shot. Let's go. But they told us to do it. We should do it. Do you think people are going to do that this time in September when this happens? Do you think it will happen?
No, I don't think they're going to do it in large numbers. I think some people will do it to try to keep their jobs, and they're just going to hope they don't get hit with a fatal side effect or a blood clot. But like Jamie Foxx, for instance, I know Jamie, he knew the vaccines weren't safe. And apparently, according to Hollywood reporter A.J. Benza, he allegedly took a vaccine to work another job on a set. He knew he took a risk. Right. And then he had a stroke, and he paid the price.
Yeah. Andy, I thank you for your call,
Steve,
but I got to move on.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, Andy. Appreciate the call. Since you brought up Jamie Foxx, you and I went back and forth on that, and I'd never heard yes or no on that, but I assumed that since they didn't address it, that he probably did take the shot to get a job. The first time I remember the first celebrity that actually came to you that you mentioned was Eric Clapton losing the ability to play guitar. And how is he made out since that incident?
Yeah, I'm hoping Eric's better. You know, he had a pre-existing neuropathy, and it got really worse after he took AstraZeneca. But he's very open about it. He had several songs. He didn't like what was going on. And people really pounded Eric for that. He's very senior, obviously, in the music community. And I remember my wife, she had to race to try to get ice packs on his hands and arms just so he could cool down at night so he could practice really hard during the day.
Wow.
So hopefully Eric's better. I should check in with him and check in with his doctor. But we know, music celebrity Jessica Sutta from the Pussycat Dolls, she had the same problem, painful neuropathy. My brother had it after four shots.
Wow.
And he got COVID, Steve. And you know what? He came back with nattokinase. So with nattokinase, spike support by Wellness Company. And it was about 3 months. And he was able to, he's back now. So
yeah, I remember celebrities also.
Now that we've discovered these three natural products, natural kinase, bromelain, and curcumin, it's a game changer.
Yeah, I remember reading the story or hearing the national story about Justin Bieber having facial paralysis. Mm-hmm. And then later on, Celine Dion evidently is really having some issues. And I assume it was vaccinated related because she evidently made it clear that to attend her concerts, you had to be vaccinated, which is crazy. But I think she's now suffering from something from vaccine damage. Let's go back to the calls. We got them lining up here real quick. It's your great opportunity to talk to an expert here on the show. And we're going back to the phones and talk to Catherine in Maine. Welcome, Catherine.
Hi, Steve and Dr. McCullough. Dr. McCullough, I have someone that I know that's going to fly commercially this week, and I'm just wondering, what precautions do you think would be wise? And the iodine nasal that you mentioned, what brand, yeah. And they actually are in Dallas. Could they pick that up at Natural Grocers right there before they leave?
Yeah, well, you can pick up, certainly at CVS, Walgreens, anywhere, you can pick up Betadine nasal spray, Cofix RX, Clear, XLEAR. They all work. The iodine spray is probably a little better. Most of them are pretty strong, so I think open up the bottle and fill the rest up with water, because if it burns up the nose, it's too strong. It should be very dilute, very mild. If you're traveling, squirt a couple squirts up this nose, snip it back, spit it out. Do that kind of before and after you travel. Can do it twice a day preventively. Gargle with a little scope or Listerine, put a few drops of iodine in. And when you're sick, like my mom has it right now, my mom has COVID. She just got off a cruise. She flew from Seattle last night to Dallas. She's in her apartment in Dallas. She's got COVID. Mom's doing the nasal sprays and the gargles now every 4 hours. And she's going to be okay. After I'm done with this and another show, I'm going to go over and check on her. But she's doing okay. The nasal sprays and gargles work fine.
Could you please repeat it just a little bit slower, and I'm sure others are going to write it down as well. And I don't want the CVS, or I'd like to get the Natural Grocers, the top-of-the-line iodine that would be wise to use. And what would that brand be, or exactly the product you think would be wise?
Well, if you're going to go to a natural store, you can get the original iodine, which is povidone iodine, P-O-V-I-D-O-N-E, povidone iodine. And you just need a few drops in a spray bottle, yeah.
Okay, would you merge it with fractionated organic coconut oil?
You can if you want to. That'll make it stick a little better. That's perfectly fine. The xylitol-based products, which is Clear, X-L-E-A-R, again, put a few drops of iodine on it. That's terrific. We have a compounding pharmacy here in Dallas, Beaker, and so they make one for us. And so it's got a base of xylitol. It's got the povidone iodine, and it has vitamin D in it, believe it or not, high doses of vitamin D. So you can really supercharge these nasal sprays. They all work. That's the interesting. They all work. They really shorten the duration of symptoms. They shorten the contagiousness, so you're much less likely to spread it to somebody. And you can get over it quicker. The virus doesn't invade the body.
Is that OTC at Beaker?
Yeah, Beaker is OTC. Yeah.
That product is over-the-counter?
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't need a prescription.
Well, we give a prescription from our office just to kind of warn them they're coming over. But my understanding is you can buy them over the counter. Oh, they're showing some on the screen. They showed some of the products. If you go to America Out Loud Talk Radio and just type in a nasal hygiene summit, it'll give you, a whole bunch of different options and what works and what have you. That's a really good resource.
Would you advise an N50 mask while in the incirculated air in flight?
Not necessarily. If someone's really concerned, they can, but they really don't work. So, the nasal sprays do. So you're much, instead of everybody having a mask on a spray on the plane, if everyone just sprayed some iodine up the nose when they got on, I feel
better.
That would
be a great idea. Yeah, you walk on the plane and they hand you your iodine. There you go. That's a great idea.
Yeah. Thank you, Dr. McCullough. Take care.
Thank you. Okay.
Thank you for the call, Catherine. We're going to go back to the phones here. Art in Philadelphia, you're on with Dr. McCullough.
Well, I had a question for you about the University of Pennsylvania's research and patents in messenger RNA, which was one of the precursors for coming up with its COVID vaccine. There is so much corruption at the University of Pennsylvania with organized crime. That's where they gave us 2,000 mules, they gave us Biden, they gave us Mockingbird. I was wondering if you have any insight what the University of Pennsylvania, and it ties back to Netanyahu, what's going on. Do you have any insight what's happening there?
Not specifically at the University of Pennsylvania, but on my Substack, Courageous Discourse, funny you mention it, I'm featuring a paper tomorrow on tomorrow's issue. It's called The Global Messenger RNA Patent Frenzy. This is a paper published from Chinese authors. And it's massive multinational investment in messenger RNA technology signifies global impetus to find viable applications. And listen to this, 9,613 patent documents on messenger RNA, 9,613. Yeah. So there's no single individual who invented it. Anybody who says they invented messenger RNA is really embellishing themselves. But the bottom line is the U.S. is involved in 85% of this. Believe it or not, in terms of assignees, when a patent is assigned to somebody, do you know number 6 in the world is the United States government to Department of Health and Human Services, 187 files and 15 families of patent applications. So messenger RNA is really a pet project of the U.S. government.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. So I see that there's a direct connection through the University of Penn right to the Mossad and right to what you're describing also.
Oh, yeah. There is a figure. Let me see if I can pull it up, see if Penn is on here. I can read the academic institutions from the Lee paper. It's really astounding. We'll see what they got here. But they have a map of all the academic institutions in the paper. And let's see if I can get it up here real quick. Of course, I can't when I need it. But in there, I know Massachusetts General, Harvard. You know, Penn is Penn's a very strong. Here it is. Penn's a very strong academic center. So all of them, the research money. Let's see who they have. Okay, this is who they list on the map. In the middle is the Claude Bernard University in Lyon, the United States Health and Human Services, BioNTech, Johannes Gutenberg, Osaka in Japan, GlaxoSmithKline, Massachusetts Institute of Technology, University of Chinese Academic Academy, CORVAC, University of Paris, French National Centers. I mean, it is a big, big worldwide operation. And yeah. I'm sure Penn is probably in there. If patents, there's 9,600 patents, they're probably in there. The research funding has been too great. The interest has been great. It, for such a big effort, it's amazing how bad it failed and flopped. There's never been such a flop in medicine, despite such a massive worldwide effort.
Right. Well, if they don't succeed first, they'll try again. That's the scary thing about this.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It is. Well, hey, Art, I gotta push on here. I got two more calls to get in the loop, but I appreciate your call. Francis in North Carolina, you're on with Dr. McCullough.
Well, hey, fellas.
Hey, what's your question?
It's actually two questions. Well, actually, one question and one comment. First of all, the impression I had gotten a long time ago is that a true pandemic is when you have at least a million people per day lose their life to this garbage that's going on. That could be in the U.S. or it could be another, as well, including other countries around the world, which eliminates a lot of people in the process. Mm-hmm. Now, whether that's true or false, I couldn't tell you. That's what I learned years ago, and I was stunned by it when I keep hearing the word pandemic, whatever, ad nauseum. Now, the thing is that I don't think people get what's called the corona bug. They probably do, just like they get any other viral bug or bacterial bug or whatever have you, ad nauseum. But as far as the one that actually takes people out, I think it's the one that they have engineered. It's actually in the shot jab that they would convince people they need to have in order to go see grandma, the grandchildren, you name it, ad nauseum, to the point that you have people brainwash. So I'm looking forward to your sentiment regarding that. Meanwhile, I'll have a green olive with my margarita, dear, not rainbow. Right. Have a great week. Later.
All right. Appreciate it. We got a couple calls lining up here. That's how she always signs off, having
quickly,
a cocktail.
You know, WHO defines a pandemic just as a public health emergency, as an extraordinary event which is determined to constitute a public health risk to other states, spreads across borders, requires an international coordinated response, but doesn't list that mortality per day.
All right, back to the phones. We got two more to squeeze in before the top of the hour here. Ed in Utah, make it kind of fast. You got one behind you.
Yes. Good job, Steve. Dr. McCullough, I'm a long-time supporter and listener to RBN, but I have to bring up something that could be a bit touchy here. I tune in now and again to the Stu Peters Show, and, of course, that's Karen Kingston. So I want to ask you about the controversy that's come up. I think some disagreement between you and her of late, and this video that emerged and was aired on the Stu Peters Show of her seemingly in distress with her son down in Mexico and saying that they are attempting to poison her. And I will remind the folks that the late Ted Gunderson of the FBI, special agent in charge, in the end of his life there in his 80s, he was still fighting them for the MK Ultra program, Dr. McCullough, and he said they were attempting to kill him, poison him. He said he didn't care. He was in his 80s, and he was fighting on, and he did. So I thought about that when Karen Kingston seems to be claiming she's being poisoned, and I'm looking at the timing of this, so-called new variant, and the Alex Jones report today, where he broke the story the other day on Friday, and then all of a sudden the propaganda mockingbird started coming out with warnings of this variant and the mask wearing and all this in September. They wanted to surprise us, I guess, but Jones blew the whistle on them through his whistleblowers. But back to Karen Kingston, a lot of us get troubled when there's some beyond the usual disagreement in our movement, and that includes you, Dr. McCullough. Could you explain what is going on there, and I'll just maybe let you guys talk here about it?
You know, I'm not following that development. I'm so sorry. I don't have a response.
All right, we'll let that go. Appreciate it, Ed, and we're going back to our last caller, Mike in Kentucky. You're our last caller. What's your question?
Well, and I haven't looked for your emails on, Substack lately, but that's where I found you on LinkedIn and followed and commented a lot of your posts on there. Did they just kick you off like apparently they did William Binney?
Not that I'm aware of. I know there's a lot of...
Are you still on there? Because I can't see you anymore.
Well,
maybe they could go
on. A program against me. No, I just logged into my LinkedIn account.
So I'll go back and look for you again. Maybe they're...
They're unfollowing you. Yeah, I mean...
Something is happening. Yeah, mm-hmm. Weird. But anyway, I followed... I talked about your protocols a lot before, the FCC kicked us off the same day they started the war in Russia and the same day they got rid of Russia TV, I got kicked off cable. But I just wondered what happened to you. There's several people gone from LinkedIn. So
I got the number one doctor account on Twitter, so P_McCulloughMD on Twitter. Go to my website, PeterMcCulloughMD.com. That'll take you everywhere.
You're still on Substack, though, right?
And Substack is Courageous Discourse, the top medical Substack. And that's where I have all the key papers coming out, interviews.
Yeah, I subscribed to the emails. I just haven't. I got to go back and look for them. I'm probably still getting those.
Okay.
But I try to get everybody to consider things like zinc and D3, and looked at the papers that were published about it. That preprint a lot of them, like what was his name, Kaufman, that had that one that showed a direct parabolic relationship between getting positive for COVID-19 versus your vitamin D level.
Yeah,
and that is just
speaking of that real quick, let me slide something before the time is up. Vitamin D, Dr. McCullough, is a fat soluble vitamin. Is there an issue with taking supplemental PO vitamin D3 along with taking natural sunshine vitamin D? Is there a problem there?
No, there's no problem. Even in the McCullough protocol, Steve, we go to 20,000 units a day of oral vitamin D, even up to 30 days.
Out of time.
All right,
guys. Thank you.
That completes our show tonight. Thank you so much, Dr. Peter McCullough, for coming on and educating us. Thank you for staying in the fight. And we're definitely going to bring you back. We get some new information. You are our go-to guy. I appreciate you. Health, happiness, and safe travels, everybody. We will talk again. Good night.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. and click on our online store. Or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.